up and moves to the side of the bed. He's doing exactly what I asked, and yet, it feels like another betrayal. I don't want to lose him. The idea of walking away is killing me, but I have to get my head straight. I can't make the same mistakes. I slide off the bed, grab my clothes, and head for the bathroom. Once dressed, I look at myself in the mirror. Who is this woman? It's been months since I've cried. Months of feeling strong, beautiful, and smart. All of that gone in one instant. I think about Hadley and the lessons I've fought to teach her. She is going to be crushed, more so than she ever was about Kevin. She loves Connor. She loves living here and had hopes that will dissipate like mist when I tell her. Once again, I've chosen wrong. I exit the bathroom and find him leaning against the wall. Our eyes meet, and I have to look away. He is my weakness, and right now I need strength.
Where will you go?
He finally asks, breaking the silence. I'll go to Sydney's for tonight. Then I don't know. I guess I'll look for a place.
Stay here.
Here? He pushes off the wall, coming close but not touching me.
Yes. This is where Hadley is happy and comfortable. You can stay here, and I'll find somewhere else.
You want me to stay in this house?
I want you to stay with me, but I'm trying to make this easier and let you go.
Nothing about this is easy. I need some time. I can't pretend that none of this happened. I want to believe that you didn't know and that your brother just filled you in, but it's all very—
You don't have to say more. If you need time, I'll give it to you.
I want to throw myself at him, beg him to hold me, and refuse to allow any space or time to separate us. But wants are dreams, and I have both feet in reality now. Hadley will want to see you. A deep sigh comes from his throat as his face pales.
I'll be here, anytime, for either of you.
I head to the front door, not caring about clothes or anything because nothing matters. I grab my purse off the front table and pause with my hand on the door. Just open it, Ellie. Walk away because you know you have to. But my hand is frozen because I can feel him at my back.
Ellie.
As I close my eyes, another tear falls and a sob lodges in my throat. Nothing has ever hurt so much. Nothing. I'd take 1,000 more beatings if it meant that I never had to endure this moment. I push a breath out, straighten my shoulders, and dig for whatever strength I might have to push forward. Goodbye, Connor. And then I walk out the door and make it to my car. Once I'm halfway down the drive and the house is no longer in view, I put the car in park and cry harder than I've ever cried before. Chapter 36. It's been 2 days. 2 days of complete and utter misery. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I manage to be strong when Hadley is around, but even that is half-hearted.
Mommy, where is Connor?
The eyes I'm trying to avoid stare back at me. Her lip quivers, and I reach my hand out to stop the trembling. He's at his house.
Why are we still at Sydney's?
Because we don't have anywhere else to go. Lying to her goes against everything, but I can't tell her the truth. He's not feeling well, so we're going to stay here until he is. She tilts her head to the side. Shouldn't we be there for him? My heart feels as though it's about to rip out of my chest. I want to be there with him, but how can I? How can I forgive him after all that happened? He lied to me. All this time I've been giving my soul to him only to have it crushed. Not now.
When can we go home? She asks.
I sit up, taking her hands in mine and attempt to smile. She's been through so much, and I feel as though I've failed her again. I put my faith, once again, in a man who didn't deserve it. All these years, my life has gone down a path because of the choices his family made. Now I have to prepare our daughter for the new path, the one where a family we were building falls apart. Hadley, Connor and I, we are taking some time apart.
But, she rips her hands from mine, I love him.
I love him too, but sometimes it's not that simple. Hadley's head moves side to side in denial.
We have to go back, Mommy. We have to. Connor loves us, and he makes you happy. You don't cry anymore, and Connor doesn't hit you. There are wounds that aren't physical.
I know that, honey, but we had a fight, and we agreed that we needed to take a break.
Her eyes widen, and then she touches my face with her hand. He's my best friend.
And he's your father, and will always be a part of your life. I will never take that away from you.
Tears leak from her eyes, and everything inside me is tightening. Breath by breath, it constricts as I watch my baby grapple with what I'm saying. Surely this can't be how it should feel. When I left Kevin, it was freeing. This doesn't feel free. It feels like agony.
Please, Mommy, please. We have to go back. I have a treehouse, and he doesn't know what to do with the animals. We have to help him. He needs us, and he never makes us sad. Connor takes us to get pumpkins and apples. Please.
Please make this stop. I can't stop the tears that fall down my face. Watching her fall apart this way is bound to destroy me. My fingers graze her cheek, wiping the tear that falls.
You will always have Connor, Hadley. Always. I know this is hard for you to understand, but sometimes we have to walk away from someone we care about, even when they take us for pumpkins and apples. Sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you want to die in the process.
Her chest rises and falls fast, coming out in loud puffs.
I want to go back to Connor.
I do too.
I know, and I'm sorry. You have no idea how much I love you, Hadley, and I would do anything for you, but I can't give you this.
You always forgave Daddy.
Her voice quivers.
I don't know why you can't forgive Connor.
And with that, a sob breaks from her chest as she runs down the hall. When the door slams, I jump, and another part of me shatters.
Ellie, I'm worried, Sydney says at 4 a.m.
I've cried nonstop since my talk with Hadley. If it wasn't hysterical tears where she was holding me, it was a constant stream. I haven't been able to recount what happened because it's too painful, and I'm not 100% sure of what Sydney's legal responsibilities would be. I have no idea if she has to report it. Hell, she might already know since she and Declan used to date. Everything is a mess.
I'll be fine.
Will you? Because I've never seen anyone cry this much. What happened? I want to talk to someone, but I'm not sure the words will come. I learned a lot that night. Things that Connor probably hoped I'd never know, and I can't be with him.
Did he hurt you? Because I swear to God I'll kill him.
No, not like that. Not physically or anything. It's just some things about the night we met.
Oh, she says as she rubs my back. Well, that was 8 years ago, right?
Yeah, but it's complicated. I'm sure it is, but you guys have come such a long way. I hate to see you fall apart over something that happened when you were still practically kids. If she knew what it was, I'm sure she wouldn't think that. In the end, the only two people whose opinions would matter aren't here to give them. I'm not sure there's a way to fix it. Hell, I don't know how I could overlook it even if I wanted to. She shakes her head.
I wish you would tell me so I could help you.
The details don't matter. Well, they do, but not in regards to her.
Okay, then tell me without the details.
I lean back on the couch, clutching the pillow to my chest.
Connor knew what happened to my parents.
Her eyes widen. Sydney is aware of how my parents died and that their case had gone cold years ago.
He knew?
Yes, he did. He claims he didn't know who I was when we met and that he really didn't figure it out until 4 days ago. But he knew what happened that night. That's the part that has me the most confused. How could he not put it together? Had I known that his father was involved in a hit and run on the same night my parents died, I would have put it together. He didn't.
And do you believe him?
I don't know. Sydney leans back, tucking her legs under her butt.
I've known Connor since we were kids, and he's many things, but deceitful isn't one. That boy couldn't lie if a gun was held to his head. We used to have to sneak around to make sure he didn't see us and tattle. I'm not saying he hasn't grown up and changed, but he's also fiercely loyal and protective. Do you think he has it in him to purposely hurt you?
No, at least I didn't think so.
How do you explain it then? I don't know, Ellie.
I really don't. I've dealt with some crazy shit in my job and then volunteering. I like to believe I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I don't believe he could hurt you. Not ever. I've seen the way he looks at you, and I swear, it's like nothing I've ever encountered before. There's a fierceness in his love. I saw all of that, too. He was always on guard, willing to do anything that would make me happy. He was patient at a time when most men probably wouldn't have been. When he was angry, he never took it out on me or even raised his voice. The other part of me goes to his loyalty. He was protecting the people he loved, worried that he and his brothers would take the fall for something they didn't even do. And then I remember all he said about turning himself in. He was willing to take whatever the consequences were if it gave me peace. I blow out a heavy breath. Maybe it wasn't that way. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't make it any easier. No, I guess not. And Hadley isn't taking it well, I guess. No, I wipe a tear. Neither of us are. She loves him so much, and God, Sid, I do too. I love him so much, and that's what's killing me. How can I get past this? How do we move on from it? It doesn't seem possible. She lifts her shoulders slightly before they fall. I don't know. Did you guys talk? I lost it when I found out, and then I don't know, it was very tense. She shifts a little, and there's a faint smile on her lips. What? You say that you don't trust him, and I understand that you both have some issues right now, but answer me this, honestly. Would you have lost it with Kevin? I jerk back because there's no way in hell I would have. No, he would have hit me. I never lost my temper. I don't think I had emotions. When Sydney sits back, there's a sort of smugness coming from her that I don't understand. I got all night. What the hell is her point? So what if I got angry with Connor and I never could with... I was able to be angry, I say as it hits me. She grins. If you didn't trust him, you never could have yelled. You would have run or shut down, but you didn't. I know that you're angry, and you have every right in the world to be, but ask yourself if you want to spend the rest of your life trying to find a man even half as wonderful as Connor. You have a chance at a real family with him. He loved Hadley before he knew she was his blood. I don't know many men like him, Ellie. I'm not saying you don't have a right to be hurt, but be hurt together and find a way through it. And what if he doesn't want me back because I left him? Then he isn't the man I think we both know him to be. Chapter 37. Can you watch Hadley until I get back? I ask, already getting to my feet. Of course, but where are you going at 4 a.m? I force a mangled smile and rise to my feet. I'm going to go see the 2 people who I need to talk to and hope they're listening. I know that I will never find anyone like him again. He is my once in a lifetime. The problem isn't whether I love him or not, because I will love him for the rest of my life. It's finding a way to let it go. And there's only one place I can think to go. Sydney pulls me into her arms. I'm so sorry you're hurting, Ellie. No one in this world deserves it less than you. But I want you to know that while it's no excuse for Connor to lie to you, those kids had it rough growing up and it screwed with their heads. I also want you to remember that I know how you feel right now, and that even after 8 years, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't wish I could go back and make Declan mine again. And that's what I worry about. The regret that letting him go will leave a gaping hole in my heart forever. I appreciate that. She smiles. A look of understanding fills her eyes. Go. I'll watch Hadley. Thank you, Sid. Anytime. Go find your answers. And then ask yourself if your life is better or worse without Connor Arrowood. Chances are you already know the answer. I lean in and kiss her cheek. I always wanted a best friend. Thank you for being that. I rush out of the house and get in the car. The last few days have been hell. My eyes are puffy, my hair is a mess, and my heart is mangled. I think about the question she asked, and I know the answer. My life is worse. My world is sad and lonely. He brought richness, love, and understanding into our life. Connor showed Hadley and I what tenderness is. All I want is his arms around me, At night, I've clutched the pillow, wishing I could feel his warmth. I know what it feels like to leave someone and it be the right choice. This isn't that. I park the car and walk through the cemetery gates with my legs shaking. I'm tired. I've been up all night, my nerves are shot, and I feel broken inside. And I miss him. If this is what 2 days feels like, a lifetime without him will be unbearable. I lower to kneeling in front of my parents' headstones and place one hand on each of them. I found it all out, and I feel worse than before. How could I love the man who knew all along what happened to you? How can I have a life with someone who was there and didn't tell anyone, whose father is the person who took you from me? I sit back on my heels and wipe away a tear. I'm so confused, and I have no one. The last few months I've had him, but I look up at the sky, wishing I could see her, and take a gulping breath. But then I think about how he must have felt, and it just makes my guilt worse. Am I betraying you and everything I promised? His father is dead, and I can't make him pay, but you deserved so much more than what you got. You and Daddy shouldn't be in this cold ground.
It should be me,
Connor's deep voice says from behind me. I freeze, unable to think, let alone move.
Your family was whole, and my father broke it, and then I did a bang-up job of hurting you.
What are you doing here? I ask, still not looking back.
I felt like I should pay my respects and explain myself to them. I've come here once a month since I've been back.
His voice is getting closer, and my breathing accelerates.
I was going to go when I saw you, but I was worried.
I'm not okay, I tell him the truth.
I'm not either. I can't sleep, Ellie. I can't breathe without you.
I turn to give him some remark, but when I see him, no amount of preparation could have prevented my heart from lurching to a stop. His eyes glistening with unshed tears as he drops to his knees in front of me.
I can't let you go. I can't watch you walk away without knowing how I feel.
His voice cracks.
I have hated myself for years because of what happened. I thought that if I remembered, it would kill me, so I pushed it away. I was wrong, and I am so sorry.
Everything inside me is at war. Seeing him this way, sad, alone, and hurting because of sins committed by his father, causes me to want to wrap my arms around him, but I don't. I intertwine my fingers to stop myself from taking his. I don't know what to say.
Then tell me you'll come back to me. I need you, Ellie. I don't want to live in a world without you, damn it. I've done it before, and I don't want to do it again. I want our family.
My chest heaves as my crying continues. Everything inside me is a mess. His head falls forward, and I want to tell him to look at me, to launch myself at him and tell him that I won't leave him, but I am still as a statue.
I've told them the story about it all before. I came the day after I met you and left flowers. I know you don't believe me. But Ellie, I swear, I didn't know who you were.
Now that the initial shock has worn off, I believe him. I'm not sure that part matters.
You know I was just 18 years old. I wasn't a man, even though I thought I was. Imagine if it were Hadley. What would she think if her father was threatening to have her thrown in jail? For years, he'd manipulated us into doing whatever he wanted. It wasn't an easy decision. And then we were older, and We did what we could to survive and be good people.
I drop my head toward the ground, eyes closed, wishing I could hear my mother's voice. She was the kindest person I'd ever known, and I want to think she would forgive the boys. I don't know about my dad, but she would. They weren't driving the car. They didn't urge their father to drink and drive. All Connor is searching for is redemption, and he needs my forgiveness just as much as I came to seek my parents. He and his brothers did what they had to in order to survive, as we all do. Was it right? No. But they were protecting each other. Suddenly, it's imperative that I give it to him. He shouldn't carry around guilt over something that wasn't his fault or for not telling me sooner. I don't think he knew who I was when he met me in that bar or when he walked up my driveway that day. If he had, that would be a level of cruelty that he isn't capable of. I close my eyes and turn to face the first rays of the morning sun as they break over the horizon. Did you know that my mother didn't drink?
I don't know anything about them other than what you've told me.
My mother was raised by an alcoholic father. I've always imagined him to be a lot like how you describe your father.
I turned to him.
She wanted better for me. Even though my dad liked to drink each night, she married a man who doted on her like she was the sun, and everyone thought they were perfect.
The way I see you.
My heart sputters. I'm far from perfect. And they were too. As much as I've tried to idolize them, the truth is that my mother was never taught to use her voice when she thought he was wrong, and he had a tendency to make bad choices. I glance back at my father's grave. He wasn't a drunk by any means, but he liked his beer each night. Mom didn't care as long as it was just one.
I don't want you to ever quiet your voice. I want us to talk. We're going to fight, and I'm going to piss you off. Things will happen, but I love you, and I meant what I said about fixing this. I could have lied to you, Ellie. I could have pretended that I didn't know anything about your parents' death, but I wouldn't do that. Not only because I love you, but also because I don't want secrets between us. We've both been through hell, but when I'm with you, it's like heaven.
My eyes mist over, and I nod because I feel the same. I know you weren't responsible. I knew that before I ever left your house, but I needed time to process everything. But he leans forward, hope in his eyes.
I can wait.
While I'm sure that's true, I don't want that. He was willing to do whatever I needed to be at peace, had risked my walking away just so I knew the truth, and had offered to turn himself in even though it put his brothers at risk. He faced something that he'd been running from for years because he didn't want me to live another day with my own demons. I love him. I love him in a way that defies all logic, and while some may not understand it, I don't care. I bring my hand to rest right over his thundering heart. I can't.
You can't what?
Wait. I've seen monsters, and I've lived in nightmares. You aren't either. While what happened is tragic, it isn't your fault. And it is unfair of me to ever put that on you. Your father was driving that car, not you or your brothers. As I say it, the sun starts to rise higher above through the clouds. I can't imagine what I would have done if my parents were threatening me. I was angry, and more so when I thought all we had was a lie.
None of it was a lie.
I know that now.
When you walked out that door, I thought I would fucking lose it. I wanted to get on my knees and beg you to see what we have.
I shake my head, bringing my fingers up to his cheek. I don't want you to beg. I forgive you, Connor. I forgive all of you, and I think my parents would too. The sun warms my face, and I look up with a smile.
I hated that I had to hurt you.
And that's why I think it's so easy to forgive. Because you, Connor Arrowwood, are a good man. I hold his face in my hands. You are a wonderful father. You're sweet. I kiss his lips. You're generous. I repeat it again. You're the only person who has ever made me feel safe. His hands glide up my back, holding me tight against his body. He kisses me deeper, but not in a lustful way. In a way that allows me to feel it in my soul. His lips drift away from mine, and then I rest my head on his shoulder, allowing the warmth of the sun and the strength of his embrace to heal me just a little.
I don't deserve you.
I release a deep breath and nestle in closer. I deserve you. Take me home.
I'll take you anywhere, as long as I'm beside you.
Chapter 38.
It's just my brothers,
Connor tells me for the 100 millionth time today. It's not just anything. It's the day I meet your brothers and they meet their niece and it's her birthday and—
And it is all going to be fine. It's a family barbecue where you are going to meet them and everyone can put their fears to rest.
Easy for him to say. He isn't the one who's about to meet the three most important people in his life. I'm freaking the hell out. At least Hadley is over at her friend's house for a few hours so we could set up and I can, hopefully, get the initial introductions out of the way. Not that it would change anything if she were here, but I feel like the five of us need a little time first. What fears do they have?
That you really haven't forgiven them.
I sigh. Clearly I have. I mean, I planned the party and invited them.
I know this, you know this, but they're idiots who also want to alleviate their guilt a bit.
I guess I get that, but it isn't making my anxiety any better.
Well, there are things to be done, and I need to do them.
I can't stand here or I'll freak out. I head into the living room, straightening up a little more and moving the balloons, again. There really is no place to put them that doesn't seem strange. I go to the window, fluff the curtains a bit before trying to make them sit perfectly on the floor. I hear him chuckle behind me.
It's not funny, I say with a tinge of hostility in my voice.
He walks up, wrapping his arms around me from behind and swaying gently.
It kind of is.
You being charming isn't going to work.
If I had more time, I bet it would.
I shake my head as I lean it back against his solid chest and exhale.
Do you have to go see Nate this week?
Connor asks.
Yep.
Every freaking day, it seems I have to go in. The court date is coming up, and it's been nonstop going over details and mock cross-examinations.
I can't wait for this to be over.
He kisses the top of my head.
Me too. But it's almost over, and then we can move forward.
I like that idea.
Yeah, if I don't have a heart attack after meeting your brothers.
Connor's chest vibrates, and before I can turn to chastise him for laughing at me, I see dirt start to kick up on the driveway. Immediately, I jerk out of his arms.
Ellie, relax. I promise my brothers are going to love you.
It isn't just that, which is a huge part. It's that they know I know. They are here to talk to me about it, and that's a lot of pressure. I want them to like me. I want this family to maybe start to repair itself a little. Connor takes my hand and squeezes it.
I wish it didn't have to be this nerve-wracking. I mean, I've met Declan, but your other brothers are famous. It might have been better had you not told them all how I reacted when you told me.
I know, and I'm sorry for that. But I also told them that you have a huge heart and clearly love me. The sooner we get this over with, the sooner they'll let you in on every fucking secret that I never wanted you to know about me.
Like your irrational fear of ducks?
His brows furrow.
Ducks are weird and have eyes on the sides of their heads. Not to mention, they just stare out of the side.
That gets me to laugh, and I know it was meant to, but it's a slight relief. We walk out onto the porch as three men exit a Jeep.
Well, well, if Ducky hasn't fixed the place up,
one of the Arrowwood brothers says. Connor ignores him and guides us to where they're all starting to congregate.
Jackass. I mean, Jacob. This is Ellie.
Jacob removes his sunglasses and smiles at me warmly.
Ellie, I'm very glad to meet you. I want to tell you how sorry we all are.
Well, that was quick.
Jacob, geez, give her a second.
Connor slaps his brother's arm.
No, I appreciate getting it out of the way now. Thank you, I say and look away.
Other than the shaved head, Jacob is almost identical to Connor in appearance. I can see why he does so well in Hollywood.
This is Sean,
Connor motions. Sean looks nothing like Connor, other than the eyes. Sydney wasn't kidding when she said it was a trait. Still, his hair is a bit longer and a shade or two lighter, but he's no less good-looking. Sean moves toward me and pulls me into his arms.
I'm so sorry, Ellie. I wish we were meeting you when apologies weren't in order, but it really is nice to meet you.
I hug him back and fight against the new wave of emotions that hits me. These guys are all amazing. How they can come here and welcome me and be so honorable is beyond me. I'm honestly happy to meet you, I say as I rub his back. He disentangles himself from around me, and then Connor looks to his oldest brother.
And you know Declan already. I'm sorry I didn't tell you when I was here before. I'm sorry about all of it. You have no idea how glad we are that Connor found you and Hadley.
And now I can't stop myself. I burst out in tears, overcome by it all. The anxiety leading up to this was almost too much, but now that the moment is here, I feel like I can breathe. Connor immediately takes me into his arms.
What the hell did you do, Deck?
I don't know. He always makes the girls cry,
Sean or Jacob says. I can't tell because my face is buried against Connor's chest as I let everything go.
It's because she realized that he's the ugly one of us. True story.
They joke back and forth, and I feel Connor's chest rumble.
Ellie, baby, why are you crying?
Because they're so nice.
They all laugh, and I grip his shirt and tuck tighter against him so I can hide how bright red my face must be.
They're not nice at all, but you'll learn to love them in time. Come on, Ellie. We have a lot more to say, and we'd like to get to know you,
one of them says and then touches my back. I sigh and step away from Connor because I can't hide against his chest forever, and, well, crying rarely leaves a girl looking beautiful. They all probably know that. Connor and I turn to head up the first few steps, but the three brothers stare at the house as if it might grow teeth and eat them. What's wrong? I ask.
This house. It's not easy for any of us,
Connor answers. I can only imagine. Well, I promise that I will protect you all. They all smile the same lazy and attractive grin. I am so glad I wasn't a teenage girl growing up around them. They are all insanely hot, and I would bet they are all good at getting what they want. Declan is the first to take a step to me.
On that note, what could we possibly have to fear?
Connor beams at me, and I can feel the fresh blush painting my cheeks. We all walk in, and I hear a whistle from behind me.
Nothing like it was the last time we were here. Yes, and it feels nothing like it either,
Connor adds on. Connor spent months fixing the house, barn, and equipment on the property. While he's worked on the outside, I've done my part to help by cleaning the whole house from top to bottom and adding plants and curtains. I'm sorry that we've sort of taken over the house, I say sheepishly.
Sean, you're sleeping in the barn, or you can snuggle with Jacob,
Connor says with a laugh.
It's Hadley's bedroom until we move.
My eyes widen. Move?
We'll discuss it later. First, let's all go and talk.
I don't like the sound of it, but I'm not about to argue in front of his brothers. I grab a pitcher of lemonade and cookies I baked before joining them at the table. I really did go above and beyond because, while they may be here to apologize, I don't need it from them. The more Connor shared about his life inside this house, the less I cared about anything. I may have married an abusive man, but at least I could leave. They couldn't. I'd like to say something first, if that's okay with you. They share a look, but then Declan nods.
Of course.
I've never really had a family. I was an only child, and when my parents were killed, I was young and made bad choices. Well, mostly bad choices. I sigh and shoot a small smile to Connor. I just thought you should know that when I was 18, I was stupid. When I was 19, I was still stupid. And honestly, until Connor came back here, I was still stupid. Only this time I was making stupid choices that affected my daughter as well. My point is, what you all did was wrong, but I don't have the right to judge you. Your father, from all I've heard, was a horrible man, and he took advantage of the love you four share to get himself out of trouble. And he's doing it even now by forcing you to be in a place that causes you grief, and for that, I'm sorry.
Ellie.
I put my hand up to stop Declan. No, I'm sorry for what you endured. While my adult life has been pretty horrific, my childhood wasn't. So, I'd like to make a deal. Sean leans back in his seat with a smile.
A deal?
Then I remember what Connor told me about their word to each other. No, I take that back. I want to make a vow. Declan's eyes shoot to Connor's, and he grins.
You know an Arrowwood vow is unbreakable.
So I've been told.
Well, Jacob interrupts, it is for some of us.
I hope you'll forgive him for breaking the one about love and kids. I'm really okay with that one going to the shitter. They all chuckle. Connor takes my hand and lifts it to his lips, kissing the back of my knuckles.
I am too.
God, I love this man. I look into his eyes and I get lost. He loves me so deeply that it hurts to imagine what life would have been like had he stuck to that vow. I wouldn't have him, and that would be a tragic thing. Someone clears their throat.
The vow?
Crap. Yes, the vow. I'd like for you all to give me your word that you will forgive me for all that I've done in the last 8 years. And in turn, you'll get mine that I will forgive you for all that happened 8 years ago. Declan clasps his hands in front of him.
While I appreciate that, I think our debt is a little greater.
Why is that?
Because you lost parents who were good people. You've made the choices you probably wouldn't have made because of that night.
And so have you. All of you. This is my only request. I'd like the five of us to be a family. I want Hadley to know her uncles, and I hope you'll love her. Sean smiles, sits forward, and puts his hand on my and Connor's hands.
I vow to forgive.
Jacob follows, his hand covering his brother's.
I vow to protect this family, as insane as it is.
Connor's other hand goes to the top.
I vow to love you.
Sean makes a choking noise. Declan is the only one who still sits back. He watches Connor, and the two of them seem to speak without opening their mouths. Finally, Declan leans forward.
I vow to move forward as a family.
This moment, this fragment in time, is something I will never forget. Here, holding hands with these men I just met, I feel at home. They all did what I asked, and I pray that we can all find our way through the next however long with nothing hanging over us. A tear pricks, not from sadness, but from the beauty that this all is. All four Arrowwood brothers turn their gazes to me.
Oh, I'm supposed to vow?
Connor winks at me with a grin. Okay, then. I vow to let go of all the past sins and do everything you already said. After a second, they all remove their hands, and then Sean releases a heavy breath.
You know, you better marry that girl, Connor, or I just might.
My heart accelerates at even the suggestion, so I pretend I didn't hear it and decide I will get through the trial before I allow myself to even consider it as a possibility. Connor laughs once and then shrugs.
One day, I'll break the bow.
I smile at him. And then maybe your shot will hit the target.
I think it already has.
I think so too. Just then, the door flies open, loud footsteps echo down the hall, and in comes Hadley, skidding to a stop when she sees everyone at the table. I watch her take in the scene, and before I can do anything, Connor handles it.
Hey, Squirt, you're here a little early. We have a special surprise for your birthday. Remember how I told you that I have three brothers?
She nods.
Well, they were so excited that they're your uncles and wanted to meet you.
Uncles? Connor heads over toward her.
Yes, you already met Declan. He's my oldest brother.
He winks at her. He loves the treehouse, Hadley mentions.
You should definitely show it to him again, Connor encourages.
Then the other brothers walk over to where we stand.
The tall one with the ugly hair is your Uncle Jacob.
Connor drops his voice to a whisper.
He thinks he's super special because he's on television.
No way! She yells and then waves at him. Before Connor can introduce Sean to her, he squats down and hands her a cookie.
I'm your Uncle Sean, and I'm the best one out of all of them.
Her eyes narrow on the sugary goodness in his hand before she grins. I like you. Connor wraps his arm around my shoulders and chuckles.
You like him now, but don't let him know your fears.
Hadley nestles herself against Connor's side. Her shyness is something I rarely see. Are you all here for my birthday?
We are,
Jacob says.
In the car, I have the biggest present for you.
Hadley looks to us and then to her uncles.
I really like your brothers, Daddy.
And I think it's Connor who got the best present of all.
Chapter 39. Connor. I hold Ellie's hand as we sit in the courtroom. The hearing is over, and we are waiting for the verdict. Nate did an exceptional job painting Kevin as a cruel husband who abused his wife and threatened Hadley. It was incredibly hard to listen to Ellie recount the times he hit her, how he used her, and how he tore her down emotionally. It took everything in me not to go over the rail and choke him myself. Of course, it was even harder to hear his attorney paint Ellie as a whore who was having an affair with me, even though that isn't even remotely close to the truth. Hadley being my daughter, though, did little to help our case. However, all of us spoke the truth, and thankfully Nate was able to have Hadley speak to the judge in chambers instead of subjecting her to the actual trial. Are you ready? Nate asks from his desk. Ellie does her best to smile.
I'm not sure, but regardless, there will be a restraining order, right?
Yes, a permanent restraining order has already been granted for both you and Hadley. She looks to me, and I give her a reassuring smile. It's little comfort to her, I know this, but I will never let that motherfucker near her. If he wants to break it, I'll be happy to break his face. Though there is already a for sale sign up on his property, so I doubt we'll ever see him again regardless. The trial took a lot out of us. We were stressed, but at home I did everything I could to ease her worries. I hated seeing her nervous and unsure, hated seeing that Kevin had the ability to keep hurting her while he was locked up. Nate's lips form into a thin line. I wish I knew a little better which way the jury was leaning, but I feel as though we did the best possible job presenting our case. Ellie nods.
You did great, Nate. Thank you.
If I had known about what was going on earlier, Ellie, I would have done something. He said as much a few weeks ago when Ellie was really delving into her past with him. The horror in his eyes at how long it had gone on was clear. She spoke of times they were together and the bruises she hid and how much a simple hug could cause her to almost faint. I thought Nate was going to lose it when he found out that the reason Ellie and Kevin had canceled a dinner party was because she had a black eye. I was proud of her for not protecting him any longer. She was cold and distant after that, seeming to retreat into herself. But that was nothing compared to how she was in the days leading up to the trial. She couldn't eat or sleep, and if she managed to close her eyes for a few hours, she had nightmares that had her screaming in her sleep. It wasn't until Hadley broke down in tears that Ellie admitted it was an issue. Sydney referred her to a counselor, and it's helped a lot. She urged me to go as well, to deal with my past, but right now, I'm not there. I'm happy for the first time in my life, and I'm not ready to dig up things I've buried. I am glad she's getting help, though, because it has allowed her to sit here strong, solid, and unafraid. It's a sight to behold, that's for sure. Ellie looks around.
Where's Sydney?
She's signing paperwork that I was waiting for, hopefully. She'll be carrying in a deed for me, but I don't tell her that. I plan to surprise her tonight. No idea. I hate lying to her, but this is more of a fib because of a present. Surely she'll understand.
I figured she'd be here for this at least.
I'm sure she will be here. Then, as if us talking about her had summoned her, she strolls through the courtroom doors. Her face is stoic as she approaches. She looks every part of an esteemed lawyer and nothing like the girl who would chase Sean around the lake with snakes because he was, and still is, terrified of them. Then I think about how the next 7 or so months are going to be for her. Declan comes back in a little over a month, and Sydney has basically demanded we not talk or mention it.
Hey, sorry, I got tied up at the office. No worries.
Ellie tries for upbeat, but it comes out a little nervous because Kevin is staring at her. I want to knock his head off his neck. Instead, I smile because in the end, I won. I have my daughter and Ellie, and if all goes well, he's going to jail. A few seconds later, the judge enters, and we all rise. He takes his seat and everyone waits.
Has the jury reached a verdict?
Ellie squeezes my hand so tight I wonder if she breaks bones, but I let her hold on to me.
We have.
I hold on to my restraint, knowing that whatever happens will in no doubt affect our family. Ellie told me that if he's released, she's going to pack a bag and we leave with Hadley. I'm on the other side and would like to stay and stand our ground. However, those two girls are my world. If they want to leave, we will be packing 3 bags, not 2. Sure, I came to an agreement with my brothers to buy a huge plot on my family's farm, but I could always sell it back to my brothers, hopefully. The judge reads the paper and then hands it back to the bailiff.
What say you?
The foreman of the jury stands and looks at the judge.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kevin Walcott, guilty.
And just like that, Ellie relaxes and lets out a sob of relief. He can never hurt her again.
What do you think, Daddy?
Hadley asks as she holds up a drawing of a 4-story house with a steeple, a gate, and a moat around it. I'm not sure who the hell she thinks is living there, but it's nice.
It's a bit small.
She beams.
I know, it should be bigger. We could have horses and pigs and goats and chickens all over here.
She points to the other large building, which I'm assuming is a barn. I was thinking something like this. I show her my drawing. It's a lot simpler. A modest house with a porch, much like this one.
That's boring.
Boring? Hadley shrugs.
We should have a palace.
Because you're a princess?
Exactly.
Oh, Lord, I'm in so much trouble. Well, Princess Hadley, we're going to have to compromise. Each day, Hadley and I have drawn different houses. She has no idea why, and for good reason. The kid is the worst secret keeper in the world. She loves knowing things and can't wait to tell everyone else who will listen. Therefore, I've just made it something we do. I have 7 drawings from Hadley and 7 from me.
What are you two doing?
Ellie asks from the doorway. Her hair falls down around her shoulders, barely brushing the swell of her perfect breasts, and her soft lips are turned up. Basically, she's nothing short of breathtaking.
We're drawing houses.
Worst secret keeper ever.
Houses? For what?
This wasn't how I wanted to tell her my grand plan, but I'm learning that life doesn't ever really go according to how we think it will anyway. Life with Ellie and Hadley has taken a lot of turns, but all of them have led me to this moment. I want to propose, and if I thought for one second that she was ready, I would marry her tomorrow. I'm finding that it doesn't much matter that she isn't ready. What does matter is having a home that is wholly ours and free of the ghosts of bad memories. I'd like to tear this one down, but that'll be my brother's issue, not mine. I get up off the floor where Hadley and I were coloring and grab the papers. Which do you like? I think mine are better, but Hadley likes this one. Ellie takes them and seems to ponder each one carefully.
I see. You like mine, right, Mommy?
Ellie's noise is thoughtful as she moves to the next.
Mine is better than Daddy's.
Hey, I grumble at my daughter playfully. I think I did good. She nods and then pats my back.
You did okay. For an adult.
Gee, thanks. Here I thought I was your favorite. She giggles.
You are, but I'm going to win.
I scoop her up into my arms and kiss her cheeks. No way, Squirt. I'm gonna win. Ellie clears her throat.
I have made my decision.
Put me down, Daddy.
Hadley kicks her feet while laughing. Yes, we must be very official. She mimics me when I stand at attention as though Ellie is my commander and I am receiving orders.
At ease, soldiers.
Ellie gives a salute and I groan. We aren't soldiers, we're in the Navy.
Okay, whatever, sailors, people who can't draw.
She winks, and Hadley and I both blanch in mock indignation.
I've decided which house is my favorite.
She lifts the drawing that Hadley did with the moat and entire farm.
I knew it. You owe me ice cream.
I don't remember making that bet. When did I say that?
You didn't.
Hadley informs me.
I think I should get some since I'm the winner.
I think we're going to win something else. I have another idea. I walk over to my jacket and tug out the papers hidden in the inside pocket. What if we did something else for a prize? Something we all might want. Hadley's attention is piqued, and so is Ellie's.
What are you up to, Arrowwood?
I grin as I walk to Ellie. I was thinking that this family has one big flaw.
What's that?
We don't have a house of our own. Ellie shakes her head with her lips pursed.
We are living in one now.
Yeah, but my brother is going to be coming soon, and that got me thinking. We should have somewhere that's just for the three of us. A few months ago, I approached Declan about this. I extend the paperwork.
What did you do?
Just open it. She does so slowly, and her eyes go wide as she reads the agreement.
You're buying land?
I'm buying us land. My brother's agreed to sell me part of the Arrowwood farm once it's able to be sold, and I'd like us to build on it. The good part is that we can actually start to build before it's sold. We can stay here while it's being built, but everything is ready to go if you are. Hadley makes a squeal as she holds onto my arm.
Can we have goats?
Her and the animals. Let's see if Mom goes for the house first. Then she looks at the paper behind it, taking a minute to examine the architect's sketch of the house I'd had designed. That's what I had drawn up. I was thinking that Even though it doesn't have a steeple or gates, it would be great for us.
Connor.
It has 4 bedrooms. The porch goes all the way around, and there's an office where you can work when you need to. I was thinking we could put... Ellie grips my face, pressing her lips to mine, effectively silencing me.
Ew.
Hadley complains, and we both smile against the other's lips. What do you think?
I think I love you, and this is perfect.
I lean down and pull Hadley up into my arms, and then grab a hold of Ellie. This is what's perfect. Ellie gives us each a kiss.
What do you think, Hadley?
She grabs both our necks and pulls us close.
I love our family.
Me too, Squirt.
Me three.
And everything I have in my arms is everything I need.
Epilogue. Ellie. 2 months later. Dealing with these contractors is driving us crazy. But it's a huge relief that the Walcott farm sold, and now I don't have to worry about Kevin living next door. Yeah. Connor took me out for dinner last night, and I swear, Sid, I thought he was going to propose. Uh-huh. I don't know if I'm ready, but then I wonder about what more I need to be ready. Right. It's been an hour of us sitting here in the farmhouse. We're supposed to be having a girls' lunch, since Connor is at the build site and Hadley is at riding camp, but Sid is being a grump. Instead of eating, she keeps moving the food around the plate and giving one-word answers. I pick up my napkin and toss it at her. What is up with you? I'm fine. I know she isn't, and I have a feeling I know what is bothering her. Declan comes this week. Sydney's eyes light up for the first time. I don't want to talk about it. You never do, but I think you should. I can't imagine this is going to be easy on her, and she's been doing her best to pretend, but time is up. Declan has cleared the next 6 months so he can do his time on the farm. The brothers decided that when the conditions of the will were met, they were going to split up the land into quarters, and if one wanted their portion, they could have it, but they forfeited all rights to any proceeds for the other three. When Declan, Sean, and Jacob go to sell, they'll split it 3 ways since Connor is keeping his. The section we're building on is perfect. It's Connor's favorite spot, and where Hadley's ridiculous tree mansion sits. Still, we're nowhere near done with building since they broke ground only a month ago. Instead of taking Declan in as a roommate, which he refused to even consider, he had a sort of tiny home built out by the barn, which is now completely finished and functional. I'm sorry, I have a lot on my mind. Okay? Like Declan? She gives me a pointed stare, which I'm sure intimidates some people, just not me. I need to figure some things out. I hate that she's clearly upset. Sid, you know you can tell me anything. She releases a deep breath and then looks away. I made a mistake. Okay. I screwed up the weekend of Hadley's birthday. Oh God, I have a bad feeling about this. And I was an idiot. I left the party because I didn't want to be anywhere around Declan. I was a mess. I kept crying because our stupid song came on the radio, and so I went out to the pond because that's what dumb girls who are still in love with their exes do. I stood out there, thinking of him, wanting for things to be different. Sid, she lifts her hand. It gets worse. Apparently, he was feeling the same way, nostalgic, and he came out there as well. My chest aches for her because I know how much she still loves him. He's been the guy, the one who she can't seem to get over and yet doesn't want back in her life. He hurt her more than she'll ever admit. Please tell me you didn't... Okay, I won't tell you. Yeah, it's bad. And now? Her eyes lift to mine and a tear falls down her cheek. Now, I need to take a test. I take her hand and decide to confess my own fear. I do too. You're? I don't know, I say quickly. But I'm late, and Connor and I have been pretty busy not caring. I had my IUD removed, and we both sort of figured if it happens, then it's meant to be. I've always wanted more kids, and he's the only man I want to have a family with. Do you have a test? She asks. I picked up one of those value packs because I'm one of those crazy people who will need at least 4 tests to confirm what test 1 says. I nod, and we head into the bathroom. I hand her the one, letting her go first, and then it's my turn. We have 3 minutes. I set the timer, and we sit in the dining room. Not how you thought lunch would go, huh? I shake my head. No, but I get it. What am I going to do if it's positive? I remember all too well how it felt when I found out I was pregnant with Hadley. It was terrifying. I wasn't ready to be a mother, but there I was. I know you're scared, probably more so because you're alone, but Declan is a good man. He's not going to make you do this alone. He can't know. Now it's my turn to be taken aback. You have to tell him. When I'm ready, not now. Promise me, Ellie. You have to promise you won't tell him or Connor. I can't lie to Connor. She shakes her head and grabs my hands. You don't understand. The timer goes off and both of us freeze. I won't say anything unless he asks. Sydney releases a heavy sigh and then nods. I guess that's the most I can ask for. Hopefully it'll be negative and this will all be a bad dream. I hope so for her too. We both get up and head toward the bathroom to see the results. Again, I stand outside, waiting for Sydney to come out, and I say a prayer, asking for this to go the way we both want it to. But before I can go see the results, Connor comes through the door. Hey, baby. He walks over and gives me a kiss. Hi. What's wrong? He asks, because it's clear I'm distracted. I shake my legs back and forth and then bite my lip. Wrong? Nothing's wrong. Just need to use the bathroom. Then the door opens and Sydney comes out holding both tests. She looks at me and shakes her head, but I'm not sure what that means. Then she kisses my cheek and holds out what I assume to be my test to me. Connor's eyes drop to the unmistakable object in my hand. Then she turns to him and smiles. I'll see you guys tomorrow. I need to go. Sid? There are tears in her eyes, but she doesn't say anything. She touches my arm and then walks away. I stand here, watching her go while holding my test. I'm worried about her. Ellie, Connor says. Is that? My pulse spikes because if this is positive, everything will change. Not that our life hasn't been constantly evolving, but a baby will amplify it. Then I think, what does it matter? He and I love each other and knew this was a definite possibility. I can't imagine my life with anyone else. He's already an amazing father, and this time it won't be scary. I'll have him with me each step of the way. I'm late, I explain. I thought that maybe I could be pregnant. He smiles wide, and now I really hope the test is positive. I lift the test, and my entire world becomes just a bit brighter. We're pregnant, I say with tears in my eyes. He wraps his arms around me and kisses the side of my neck. We're having another baby. It seems we are, I say as a tear rolls down my face. Are you happy? He pulls back. Am I happy? I'm fucking beyond happy. We're having another baby, and God help me, Ellie, I'm going to marry you. I know you wanted to wait, but I don't want to wait. What? I take his face in my hands. I love you, Connor. I love you more than any woman has ever loved a man. I don't need to wait to marry you. I don't want more time. We've wasted enough of it. I want us to have our family whole, and I want to be your wife. He kisses me, and I forget how to breathe. I have no idea how long it goes on, but we both start to strip each other. His hands move down my body, soft and sensual. Connor kisses me deeply as he walks us back into our bedroom. Slowly, he pulls the straps of my dress down, watching me as he does it. My hands go to his shirt, and I lift it off. I love his body. I love how my body reacts to his touch, too. We both explore each other with our hands. He brushes his thumb across my nipple, causing it to pebble before his mouth is lowering and he's sucking it into his warm mouth. I moan, relishing how good it feels, and pregnancy only amplifies it. He continues to drive me crazy with his mouth, and then his hand is at my clit. He flicks it back and forth, causing my back to bow. You feel so good, I tell him. I always want to make you feel good. And he does. He uses his hands to pleasure or show me affection, never in anger. It's so different being with him. Sex is unbelievable, and I truly don't know if I ever really had an orgasm after being with him. It was as though my body rejected anything that Kevin did. When you love and trust your partner, it's a different experience, one that I'm glad I can share now. He pushes me higher, licking my nipple and moving his finger faster. I start to pant, my orgasm building with each passing second. My head thrashes from side to side as I build even more. I call his name, begging for more and also for him to stop. I can't take it. It's too much. Connor. You're so beautiful. I love you so much. He puts his thumb on my clit and pushes down, and I'm done. Wave after wave of pleasure laps over me. It's so good that I never want it to end. He pulls every ounce of pleasure out of me that my body will give. Then he's above me. In one swift move, Connor pushes into me, both of us moaning at the sensations. My body welcomes him, loving how well we fit together. I slide my fingers down his back, and he surges forward again. We make love. It's soft and hard at the same time. He flips us so I'm on top, and his hands hold onto my hips. I ride him while he guides the pace. Ellie, I can't hold back. I love when I make him lose it. There's something powerful about being able to do that to him. Then don't, I tell him as I grind down harder. I love you. I swirl my hips and then drop down, bringing my lips to his. And then he finishes. We're both sweaty, lying beside each other, neither really moving. That was intense and fantastic and emotional all at the same time. He props himself up on his elbow, looking down at me with a wry grin. What? I love you, Connor says as his hand moves to my belly. And I love you. We love you more. Not possible. We clean up and then head back to bed, where we tangle together. We've both been just lying here, enjoying the quiet warmth of each other. What was up with Sid? Connor asks, breaking the silence. I think about my friend and what her headshake meant. I think she has a lot on her mind. My brother was weird on the phone today when I mentioned her. Yeah, well, they both might have a lot more weirdness if that test was positive. However, I don't know if it was or wasn't, so my not telling him isn't exactly lying. Thank you, I say after a moment.
For what?
For loving me. For giving me a family. For giving me a life I only dreamed of. Connor's lips press against the top of my head.
I'll give you the world, Ellie.
And I know he will, because he already has.
This has been Come Back For Me, written by Corinne Michaels, narrated by Andy Arndt and Zachary Weber. Copyright 2019 by Corinne Michaels. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Producer Andy Arndt. Andy Arndt and Zachary Weber are members of SAG-AFTRA. To keep up with new releases, visit CorinneMichaels.com. This unabridged recording was produced in 2019 by Corinne Michaels, who holds the copyright. Who, or which, if a corporation, holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Corinne Michaels. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.